And my wife just turned 79. We're same age now. And so she's still teaching. She teaches English at Hines Community College. And I'm preaching all over the place. In fact, next Sunday, I start a revival down below Meridian. And I was looking at all these young people and children here. The pastor told me they run about 40 or 50 on Sunday. And he said, we're all old people here. So I just want you to know how blessed you are with all these boys and girls, all these children here. Now, they're often in the meeting of their own, most of them. I'll tell you a quick little story. When a few months after Hurricane Katrina flooded New Orleans, we had Billy Graham and Franklin Graham in New Orleans for a weekend. And Franklin Graham spoke Saturday night, and Billy Graham spoke Sunday afternoon. And vast arena down there, and thousands of people. Both times, they were preceded on the program by a guitar player, Dennis Agajanian. They introduced him as the world's fastest guitar player. Now, if you Google world's fastest guitar player, you find out there are quite a number of guys claim that title. But and so I don't really know. But anyway, he was good. But he shared his testimony both times, and he said something I've never forgotten. He said, I grew up in a church that was so small, my brother and I were the youth group. And he said, our pastor was 75 years old. I used to think that was old. I thought about that a lot, and I thought, you know, if you could run the tape back to when he was a little kid, and let's say you walked into that church. I have no idea. Let's say they're running 25 people. Suppose you said to them, do you people realize that there's somebody in this church who someday is going to be speaking before vast crowds on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world? What would they have said? Would they have said, not us. Why, we're just a little church. We can't ever do anything. Or would they say, you bet. That's what we're praying for. We're asking God to raise up somebody from this congregation who's going to touch the world for Jesus Christ. Well, can I ask you a question? What would they say at Emmanuel today? Are you praying for that? Are you asking God to touch the world through this church and through people whom he brings to this church and who grow through the ministry of this church? For the invitation today, I'm not quite there yet, but for the invitation, I'm going to ask you just to join me down here at the front and let's fill the altar and let's pray. You can kneel here and pray, lots of room. Stand here and pray, or sit on one of these chairs on the front and pray. Whatever you want to do, pray about whatever God lays on your heart, and we may suggest something as you go along. And of course, Brother Eddie will be here if you want him to pray with you. And as always, the invitation is for anybody who wants to get saved. If you've never been saved, my question to you is, what in Sam Hill are you waiting on? The clock is ticking for you too, friend. It's ticking for all of us. The scripture says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So if you've never been saved, you come to Brother Eddie and tell him, I need to be saved. Now, he's not going to save you, but he's going to pray with you and help you to give your heart to Christ. If God tells you to move your membership to Emmanuel, then please do that. You never go wrong by obeying the Lord, and you always want to obey him when he tells you to do something. Scripture day is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. Like you turn there, please. Those of you who are note takers, I'm going to give you a couple of statements in a few moments for you to write down. And I'll give you some scriptures under it. And for the most part, you won't have time to look up the scriptures. So what I suggest is that you mainly just jot them down and look them up later on your own time. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. Brother Eddie said he uses the ESV Bible. I don't have one of those. This is New American Standard. I don't think it's probably much different from yours. Now, one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. There was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that Jesus was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. She kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, He said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she's a sinner. Jesus said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. He replied, say it, teacher. A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, about 2 years' salary, and the other owed 50 denarii, about 2 months' salary. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have judged correctly. Turning toward the woman, Jesus said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but since the time I came in, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I love this story. It may be the purest worship that you will find in Scripture. I admire people who can worship purely. I love the song, The Majesty and Glory, that says, O Lord, little children praise thee perfectly. And so would we. And so would we. Something inside the heart of every believer wants to do what this woman did. We're sort of envying her because we wish we could do that. We envy her the courage that she had. This woman came into a house where she was not welcome and came anyway because she was coming to see Jesus. And when she got there, she did something even bolder than that. She sat down at his feet. Now, these people are reclined toward the center. We don't eat this way. We sit at tables. But they reclined toward the center here. And so his feet are over here. And so the woman, in fact, scholars say that in those days, if you had a dignitary visiting your home, sometimes you would leave the door open and the neighbors would come in and just kind of stand around the wall and just observe. So this woman has slipped into the house. She sat down at the feet of Jesus and she's doing what I expect many of us would do. She's sitting there weeping, thinking, what a wonderful Lord. What a wonderful Lord. Just sitting there weeping. She wets his feet with her tears, and then, nothing to dry them on, she lets down her hair and uses her hair to dry them. And she's now kissing his feet. And the old saying, in for a dime, in for a dollar, she breaks open that fragrance and just pours it over his feet, anointing his feet. And the fragrance goes everywhere. If they tried to ignore her at first, nobody is ignoring her now. The fragrance of that perfume lingered in this house for weeks. And the Pharisee named Simon was not very appreciative. And he looked at Jesus and just thought if he was really who he said he was, he would not put up with this. And the Lord told him the parable, indicating to Simon, the reason you don't love much is that you haven't been forgiven much. And the reason this woman loves so overwhelmingly is that she has been forgiven so much. I want to give you a statement. It is possible to love Jesus just that way here on earth when he's not here bodily, but we can love him here in a way that he feels it up there just as much as he did that day. Let me say it again. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, even though he's in heaven, it's possible for you and me to do loving things for him that cause him to feel the love just as much as he did that day. So I'm going to give you two of those things. When we do something loving to the Lord's children, he feels the love. When we do something loving to the redeemed of the Lord, our brothers and sisters in Christ, not just in our congregation, to the Lord's children, he feels the love. He takes it personally. Matthew chapter 25, verses 40 and 45, the Lord Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you do it to me. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give refreshment to somebody who is thirsty, visit the sick, take care of the prisoners. You do it for these, my brethren, do it to the least of these, my brethren. You do it to me. I take it personally," he says. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 is one of the all-time great verses in the Bible. And I love to write that verse when I'm sometimes writing a note to some saint who has served God through the years. I'll say to them, Hebrews 6:10 has your name all over it. Here's what it says. "God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love that you have shown toward his name in having ministered to the saints and in still ministering." Now think of this. He said, when you out here working for the Lord and ministering to the saints, you're showing love toward his name. And he feels the love. So you're feeding them. You're visiting them. You're visiting the shut-ins. You're taking care of the widows, deacons. You're ministering to the children. I was drawing. I'm a sketch artist. I was drawing at a wedding in Mobile. My daughter-in-law works as a financial secretary of one of the churches there. So she introduced me to Angie. She said, "Angie's on our church staff." And I was drawing Angie. I said, "Angie, what do you do at the church?" She said, "I clean the toilets." I said, "Angie, thank you for cleaning Jesus' toilets. We sure need somebody to do it. And I believe the Lord appreciates whoever does it because it reflects well on him. Thank you for cleaning the Lord's toilets." You do it as unto the Lord, and he takes it personally. The first winter that I was pastor here, my wife and I had just gotten out of seminary. Neither one of us came from very wealthy background. Her dad was a Greyhound bus driver, and they never had a lot of this world's goods. My dad was a coal miner, and I can assure you we never had a whole lot. And we didn't think anything about it. We did all right. And that winter I was at a funeral at Green Lawn Cemetery. And it was cold and wet and muddy, and I was wearing my little thin dark blue suit, shivering. After the funeral, I drove back home. We lived over here on East Wanda Drive. Drove back home, changed out of the wet clothes into some dry, and I went down to the church. We were on Highway 1 South. Some of you know where the church was. And I walked in, and there on the secretary's table was a box with my name on it. It was from a men's clothing store here in town. Mrs. Ethel Keeling had gone straight from the cemetery to the men's clothing store and bought her pastor a brand new London Fog men's all-weather coat. I thought it was just about the prettiest thing I had ever seen. Mrs. Keeling didn't live too many years after that. Her daughter, Joanne Birchfield, lives in Columbus. And not long ago, I saw Joanne over there, and I was telling her this. And I said, "Joanne, I believe when your mother got to heaven, the Lord Jesus said, 'Thank you for my coat.'" You did it for your preacher. Jesus takes it personally. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. You remember in Matthew chapter 25, the Lord Jesus told a parable. A king sends out servants to invite people to the wedding. And some of the people mistreated his servants. And some of his servants were killed. And the king sent his army out and made short work of those people. And the Lord Jesus, without even saying it, is saying the king took personally how people treated his servants. And I tell you, my friend, the Lord Jesus takes personally how you treat one another, how you treat the children, how you treat the old people, and how you treat the preachers. I'm going to give you two scriptures. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40, and Luke chapter 10 and verse 16. These are referring to the same incident. The Lord Jesus sending his disciples out to preach. Sort of a, like, it's treating them like they're seminary students, sending them out to practice preaching while he's still with them so they can come back and then talk about it. And he tells them three things. Matthew 10:40, Luke 10:16, the Lord says, "Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever listens to you is listening to me. And whoever rejects you is rejecting me." Now, there's about half the Baptists that I know who don't believe that. I've had people say, "Well, I'm not rejecting Jesus. I'm just rejecting that preacher." Friend, the Lord Jesus takes personally how you treat that preacher. How you treat these servants whom he sends. Not just the preachers, but the others too. We treat one another as we would treat the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says we're to honor one another. Give preference to each other. Rather than looking out for number one. You want the Lord to feel the love? Then do loving things toward his children. Clean his toilet. Teach his children. Love on the seniors, visit the shut-ins, teach your class, preach your sermon, bless your people. Here's the second statement. When we obey a command of the Lord Jesus Christ, in particular, if it's really hard to do, he feels the love. Now, the Lord says, if you want to show your love for me, obey me. In two chapters, in John chapter 14 and John chapter 15, about a half a dozen times, Jesus says variations of this statement. If you love me, keep my commandments. Whoever keeps my commandments is the one who loves me. Now, he's not talking about 10 commandments, friends. He's talking about all of his teachings, the things that he's taught us. Lord Jesus says, you love me, obey me. And you and I have heard people say, "Well, I know I'm not obeying the Lord, but the Lord knows I love him." No, he doesn't. He says you don't love him if you're not obeying him. But if you want to show him you love him, obey him. And if you want to show him you really love him, obey him when it's hard to do. Well, we're going to tithe our incomes just as soon as it's easy. Hey, buddy, it ain't ever going to be easy. If you know what? I run into people who say, "I'm going to start tithing my income just as soon as I get all the bills paid and a little extra money ahead." You ever heard that? Preachers heard it. If we're where we can talk, I'll say to them, "Well, in the first place, that ain't going to happen. There'll never be a time when you get all the bills paid and money ahead and nothing to do with it. You will always have reasons to spend it." So, first place, ain't going to happen. Secondly, the Lord doesn't want it that way. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." And when you say, "We're going to start doing it just as soon as we get all the bills paid, a little extra money ahead," what you're saying is, "I'm going to start tithing my income just as soon as I don't have to do it by faith." And the Lord says, "I don't want it that way." Now, you are surrounded by tithers today. People, there are people in this congregation who have tithed their income down through the years. And if you ever had a testimony time, Brother Eddie, throw out this question. Tell us about when you started. It was hard, wasn't it? Now, there occasionally somebody said, "No, my parents started me when my allowance was a dime a week." But for most of us, it was hard. And I'll give you a little secret. God loves it that way. Because only those who mean business will do it. Only those who really believe him will do it. I ask you today, do you believe him? Do you believe him? Will you obey him? Will you pray? Will you give? Will you go? Will you witness? Will you share your faith? Will you be faithful to him? Well, it's hard. Yes. That's when you do your best work. When you feel lousy. When the news from the doctor is bad. When the vote is against you. When the resources dry up. And you're still faithful. That's when it counts. Job buried all 10 of his children. His heart was broken. And he lost all of his wealth in the same day. And he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord Jesus with his disciples stood in the temple and they watched as people were coming by the treasury place there, dropping their offering. And they had three urns, three big brass urns. One brass urn was for the contributions to the temple and priesthood. One was for the support of the feast days. And the third one was for benevolence. People coming by, some of them dropping a handful of coins, some of them a sack of coins. And they spotted this little widow woman coming along, very poor. You can tell by the way she's dressed, she's poor. And she had two little coins, maybe a dime. And as she went by, she dropped them in one of those urns and off she went. And Lord Jesus said to his disciples, you see that? Everybody else is giving out of their surplus. This woman put in all she had. And I'm telling you, he said, she put in more than anybody else there. Because heaven measures the offering not by the denomination on the bill or what you wrote on the check. Heaven measures your offering by what it means to you. If it means nothing to you, it means nothing to God. If it really means something to you, this is really, I worked hard for this, and it matters to him. If you and I were to go back, this little woman's in line over here. She's bringing her offering. Let's go over here and see if we can talk her out of giving. So we go over and say, ma'am, we see that you brought your offering. Yes. Don't want to embarrass you, ma'am, but see, you don't have much. And ma'am, you really don't need to give your offering because it's not much. You need it. And don't want to embarrass you, but even when you give it, it's not going to make that much difference. But the biggest reason of all, ma'am, why you don't need to give is that the temple is under the control of a bunch of crooks. And Mark chapter 11, Jesus called them a den of thieves. Now, Baptists, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard anybody in the Baptist church say, I'm not giving my offering, I don't like what they're doing down there. Not giving my offering, I don't agree with those deacons. Not giving my offering, I don't like that preacher. You ever heard that? If you ever hear it, turn around and say, where are you putting your offering? And smile real big, because I can tell you the answer to that, they ain't putting it nowhere. They just found an excuse to get out of giving. Now, friend, listen. Your enemy, your infernal enemy, has an 18-wheeler full of excuses to keep people from giving. He has collected them over the years. When you get tired of that, he'll give you some more. And some of us have bought into that, and some of us have gone all these years without giving to the Lord's offerings, and their missionaries who had to come home because there was not enough financial support for them. And some of God's people are going to stand before him one of these days and give an account for their laziness and unfaithfulness. Friend, you want to bless the Lord in heaven? Obey him. Obey him. Do it when it's hard. My mother was 90 years old. She had been widowed. And I would call her every morning. She was on the farm in North Alabama. One Sunday morning, I was going somewhere to preach. And she told me that one of the great-grandsons had spent the night with her. At breakfast, she said, John, you going to church today? And John said, oh, Granny, I don't feel like it. And she said, oh, honey, if I only went to church when I felt like it, I'd never go. Some of you know about that. You didn't feel like it this morning, and you got up and came anyway. Thank you. God bless you. Listen, friend, when you serve the Lord, when it is hard, that's when it counts the most. That's when it's the purest gold. That's when it's the purest love. When you praise God in the middle of your pain, it's the purest praise there is. Jack Hinton is a retired Baptist preacher over in eastern North Carolina. Last church he served was in New Bern, North Carolina. And one summer he took a group from his church on a mission trip into the Caribbean. Brother Chris, if you got to take a group, you might as well go to the Caribbean. They need the gospel down there too. They were on the little island nation of Tobago. The missionary led them over to a leper colony, a leper hospital there, a leprosarium, they call it. they spread out on the campus there visiting with the leprous patients and had their hearts broken when they saw what leprosy does to the human body. After a little bit, the administrator said to Pastor Jack, "We have a chapel here. If you folks would like to lead us in a worship service." They thought that'd be great. The Carolina group went in, lined across the front, and the patients came in, most of them all able to walk, and two or three of them helping each other. Pastor Jack, standing at the front, said, "I saw something very strange. One of the women patients came in, a leprous woman, sat on the back row and turned facing the back wall." Well, the Carolina group had some songs and prayers and scriptures and testimonies. After a little bit, Pastor Zach said, "Folks, we have time for one more hymn. Does anybody have a favorite hymn you'd like for us to sing?" And now for the first time, the little woman on the back row turned to the front. And Pastor Jack said, "I found myself staring into the most hideous face I had ever seen. Because of leprosy, the woman had no nose and no lips. And when she raised her hand to make a request, there was no hand there, just a bony nub. And she said, 'Could we sing Count Your Many Blessings?'" And he just lost it. I mean, the tears came up and choked off his voice. Jack couldn't get a word out. He had to step outside on the grass there and just weep. Somebody else stepped up and led the song. One of the men walked outside, put his arm around the pastor and said, "You'll never sing that song again, will you, Jack?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, but not in the same way." Can you still praise him, my friend? Can you still praise? Will you be faithful to him? Will you be faithful? Will you quit waiting on the perfect situation before you're faithful, before you obey? Will you do it starting now? Today, the Bible says, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. I'm going to lead us in prayer in just a moment, please. And then I'm going to ask you to come and just fill this altar area. Sunday school teachers and deacons and mamas and daddies and everybody. Would you stand with us, please? Just stand with us. Our musicians go into the place. We're not going to sing. We let them do whatever they want to do. Brother Eddie, would you come take your place here at the front? Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. I'm going to ask you to remain standing after the prayer and just go ahead and be coming. If you want to go ahead and be coming to the altar right now, you can do that, please. Just kneel here at the front, stand here and pray, sit on the front pew and pray. When you finish, you can go back to your seat. Or if you want the pastor to pray with you, he'll be glad to do so. Father, thank you. 1,000 times thank you for what you have done for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, such a wonderful Savior. How precious, Father. Our hearts identify with the woman who knelt at his feet, just weeping and loving on him. We want to do that. And you've said to us, then get busy here. Get busy now. Do it now by loving on one another. Dear Father, help us to do it. Hear our prayers now, we pray. The invitation now, my friend. Would you come? Thank you for those of you who are already down here. Emmanuel is a praying church. I know that about you. Come on, folks. Let's fill this altar. Would you come right now? The invitation is now. Thank you. God bless you. Is there anybody here who needs to join this church? The Holy Spirit says, join this church. Oh, friend, don't argue with him. Just come on and do it. Anybody here who's never been saved? You know the tug of God's Spirit. Come on to the pastor and just say, "Pastor, I need to be saved." Come on. Come on, would you, right now, please. Lots of people down here. Lots more room. Would you come?
I once was lost.
Amen. Would you come?
I walked away.
You never go wrong. I obey the Lord. Would you come?
I could not see. My hope was gone. The pain was real. But your mercy.
You know the tugging of God's Spirit. You know it's different from anything else.
You saw my steps.
You know it's him. Would you obey him? That's all we ask
you to do.
My
fear.
You never go wrong.
You heard my cries. You called my tears, arms open wide. You ran to me, but your mercy, your mercy, your mercy. I stand before my King, and bow my heart to sing. You saved me, you raised me, you died so I could live. No greater love than this, your mercy. You gave me life beyond the grave. My deepest shame is cast away. You sing a song that covers me. It's your mercy. Your mercy, your mercy. I stand before my King and bow my heart to sing. You saved me, you raised me, you died so I could live. No greater love than this, your mercy, your mercy. It's your loving kindness. It leads me to repentance. It's your loving kindness. It leads me to repentance. Lord, let your kindness lead us to repentance. Lord, let your kindness lead us to repentance. Your mercy, I stand before my King and bow my heart to sing. You saved me, you raised me, you died so I could live. No greater love than this, your mercy.
I hope Joe blessed your heart today. Joe, I'm going to tell you what I told him last week. When we were getting ready for this, and I told him you were coming, I said, now, just in case y'all think, since he was here 50 years ago, I'm just inviting some old geezer to come. I said, I want you to know Joe's always been a blessing to me. he's always been a blessing. Always been a blessing to me. If you enjoyed it today, give the Lord a hand. If you want notes from today's sermon, Joe put that up on his website, joemckeever.com, a couple of days ago, so you can go back and you can find the scripture passages and the different things he was talking about. At this time, I'm going to ask our ushers to come. And we usually start out our services with our baptism, but it seems, you know, the enemy really didn't want